Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before.
All right,
No
all right,
video.
all right. Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
What's going on?
What is going on? Oh, I don't know, man. I'm all chill from vacation. I had a really busy day today, but just, I'm sleeping in a little bit. I'm dragging my butt a bit. When I'm going
out every day,
but when I'm going, I'm going. And then but right now I feel like when I'm not going, I'm really not
nothing wrong with that,
when I'm really not going. But
nothing wrong with that. It's only January 3rd.
I know,
right? There's no panic. Where are you going,
man? So many places.
Mañana.
So many places to go,
So exactly. Many things, but it's all mañana. No worries. Always tomorrow.
How about you? How are things?
Good.
Yeah?
Good, man. Yeah. I mean, we painted the bar yesterday, which was nice.
Cool.
Nice and clean.
Yeah.
Did some tidying up there. Today I was out with my two vitamin folks.
Yeah.
Awesome day.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah, it's
a world full of opportunities. Just a world full of opportunities.
That's amazing. You're helping him. Hopefully you're helping him turn it around. Is it who we were talking about before?
Or? Yeah, I think we're going to have to sit and talk, which is sort of what I sent you today.
Yeah.
I sent you that text.
Yeah.
That's what it's looking. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot to do on that one. Right. And it's just, oh, God bless him. I love him so much, man.
So Kenny and I are talking about this guy. We won't talk about him out in the
so
open, but
nice, right?
But great guy, runs a company with lots of potential, but kind of pointed in the wrong direction a little bit.
Yeah.
He's despite the fact that he's pointed in the wrong direction, I think he's getting some momentum and kind of growing a little bit. But I think when I look at him, and I think I'm reading your face, so you can fill in the details.
Yeah.
But he just sometimes people have great businesses, and you just gotta get them focused on the right things, right? So is that kind of
the thing? Is because I tell you what,
yeah,
heart's all in the right place. He's got some ideas.
Yeah.
Right. Really wants it to go.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a marketing, I think, more than anything. It's just that's the sort of spot that's going to be the issue. So I think it's going to be a matter, and this is something we're going to have to talk about. We can talk about it on air. We're not going to say who it is.
Yeah.
But one of the things we're going to have to do is take a look at it's almost, we're going to have to start from honestly from ground zero.
Yeah.
You know what we've got is we've got a product line that I think his aspirational goals would be to become a family type product, definitively focusing on young moms in general, moms to be. So that's going to skew a little bit younger, probably 25 to, let's say, 35-ish, maybe 40.
Yeah.
And then the aspects of all the family that goes around that type of thing.
Yeah.
The challenges, I'm going to say it this way because I think people should hear this, because I think this is stuff you need to kind of think of when you're doing a business.
Yeah.
All his analytics show that if you're trying to attract a 25 to 40 year old, we're doing a really good job attracting a 65 to 100 year old.
Yeah.
So all the marketing we're doing is attracting a completely different group than what we're aspiring to attract.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And it's not necessarily a bad thing or a good thing, but I'll tell you what happened and why you got sort of the text. And he was in front of me, so he knows I was doing this and we were talking about it.
Yeah.
Is wants to do a video for mainly for the Asian market, I think, because I'll tell you, I mean, we'll be very generalist here. I'm sure, you know, we've done racist segments before. So I mean, what's the difference? You know, who are we going to shop here?
You're right. Woo.
Exactly. Yeah. Go big or go home, baby.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at sort of the Asian market to export into the Asian market, have them import your products, especially from North America, is one, I think most would prefer to have North American and or some European countries, because the trust level of what they, in some ways reality and in some ways perceive as mm-hmm. being better comes from here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But the only way to do that is you can't just put made in Canada, made in France, and away you go. They want to know, is there history? How long you been in business? How long's the brand been in business? Is there distribution? And not just bullshit Amazon distribution. Are you in stores?
No, real.
Because that's all important to that market.
Yeah.
Because it further promotes the trust that, okay, yes, you are what you say you are. You're Canadian. I know you're more regulated than what I have back in my country.
Yeah.
But you're in the market and people know your brand, and brands are big in Asia, as you know.
Yeah.
Like people like brands.
Yeah.
And why they knock off brands, right? They just love brands, especially big brands.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what happened, we started going down that path, and I said, listen, I said, the only challenge with rushing into doing this video, I get why we're doing the video. I said, but you know, if our core goal is at 25, 35, 25, 40, you're talking about interviewing the founder of the company who's now close to 80. You're talking about the previous people who were in here. And I said, all they're going to talk about, or all they're going to do, is going to date this even further.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, about the history, yes, in terms of, okay, 40 some years, wow, cool founders, understand it, good enough. Now tell me the story. Like, now, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how far back in time you have to go to make this a valid proposition. Because I said, if we go the way we're going, all we're doing is solidifying the fact that we are geared toward 55, 60 plus.
Yeah.
So I said, you got to really think of this. I said, if you want to do this, I have no issue in it. But if we're going to do a video, I don't want to focus on this history aspect as much as I want to focus on, you know, the cool stores that we are in now. Sure, talk about the history.
So he wants the video to acquire this kind of 25 to 40 year old?
Well, I think ultimately that's where the company needs to be and wants to be. But I just think this rushed video was going to be going down a different path.
Yeah.
And it's not going to match the market, the overall marketing of what you wanted the marketing to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, sort of? No. I guess it's a classic case of, look, like, what's hot in the market right now is, you know, in content marketing, is to do video and be more engaging.
Awesome. Absolutely. And someone's probably said that.
You know, and so. Yeah, you want to do it, but he doesn't have the base for it, right? Like you don't have an audience that's looking at that.
Do you see what I mean? And that's what I brought back. I said, you know our audience. I said, fill a senior analytics. Who's our audience? And he looked at me and said, exactly. I said, 60 plus. He goes, yeah. I said, why are we going to talk about prenatal vitamins?
Yeah.
With a group that's 25 years past childbirth, right? And I said, if the whole company really right now, if all the marketing is geared toward those people, I said, that even your listing base, if you look at stores, is going to be skewed old. I said, if we want to do this, I have no issue doing it. But I think we need to really sit down and say, okay, maybe we should take a look at who we really want to be when we grow up. Have the video reflect that.
Yeah.
And start going forward. And let's now put a marketing program into play, a marketing strategy, figure out who our personas are. Who are we? Who do we talk to? Yeah. How do we talk to them?
Yeah.
Right. And if the 25 to 45 is who we really want to go after, then we need to start talking to them. And I think everything, single item in the product range, can lend to that group, just not the way they're marketing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's good advice. I mean, you really don't want to spend the kind of cash that you need to spend on a good video and then find out, like, nobody's watching it.
Right? 7 to 10? 7 to 12?
I think it's a bit cheaper now. Like, I think you can get, I think you can get into, but five, not eight? A ton cheaper, like 4 to 6-ish.
Okay. Still 4 to 6.
You know, and that's probably for like a 2-2.5 minute spot.
Yeah.
But you know, that's a good chunk of change for something that no one's going to watch, you know, because yeah. It's nothing's in isolation, right? Like, you know, so for listeners, we've, Kenny and I have kind of circled this a little bit, and he's working with Kenny now. But I think I was kind of hard on him with analytics when he sent me his numbers. When he sends me his numbers, what we see is exactly what we've been talking about, is that he's got, you know, a really old base, right? And he's spending a good chunk of change on, you know, all sorts of marketing mechanisms, whether it's social media or otherwise, to attract an audience. But it's almost like he, you know, it's like he can't change that spout, right? Is that he's got this, you know, 60-year-old coming in to buy stuff. You know, it's exactly. Hard to shoot a magic commercial and say, this is it, right? Like, this 2.5 minute spot, is going to change everything for us, right? You really need to kind of go back and do all the elements and get it right.
And I think you do. And I think sometimes the more you talk about it.
Yeah.
So I showed him the video that those students did of me for the coffee bar.
Yeah.
I said, what I want to do is, I said, if you take a look at that, I said, the reason for that video was, you know, at one time we wanted to attract more millennials to the bar. But the reality is, the way we conduct our business, the way our brand is in the market, mm-hmm. the coffee company, mm-hmm. the bar goes with it. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, where we have the coffee listed and probably who we're talking to is not really a millennial.
Yeah.
Right. It's probably going to be a Gen Xer and probably into a baby boomer.
Yeah.
So I said, when I did the discussion with the kids about what the bar was about, I said, to make it authentic, it needed to come from me. And I'm not a millennial. Right. But yeah. I can tell you why the bar started and what we want to do. And the bar is really all about the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And making it a place for the neighborhood to hang out and to be a part of all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what it had to be. Now, if you want to do the, so if you go into the bar, for example, it will sort of match more. Like, I think it's got a cool vibe to it, but I don't think we're ever going to attract really young millennials. There's so many, and they speak a different language, and it's different.
Yeah.
But we can get in our bar probably a lot of people in that 35 to 55,
yeah.
which is just good by us.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's probably the right group. It fits us better. It's more comfortable for us. Like, it just fits.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So then all your marketing, all the important things to that group is what you talk to.
And you start, and you say things in the way that a 35 to 55, like, that's probably
exactly.
I can't so talk critical to the process, right? Like, you know, yeah.
You watch Modern Family?
What's that?
You watch Modern Family periodically?
Here and there, yeah.
Okay, well, the father, Phil Dunphy, is exactly what we would be if we tried to be a millennial. The dumbass shit that he says just kills you because the kids always, you know why I laugh at? Because my kids always say, I'm Phil.
Yeah.
I'm Phil Dunphy. And I said, you know, you guys honestly go, well, you're cute, Dad. It's okay to be Phil Dunphy. I said, yeah, but he looks like a loser.
Yeah.
He goes, well, sometimes, Dad, you know, you just don't say the right things.
Oh, man. I know. I know I'm not allowed to use, you know, the word lit.
Yeah, we're not allowed to use that. That's
I'm not allowed to use that word. So I
think one time you wrote nice, you know, in nice. Noise.
Yeah, noise.
No, you're not allowed to use that either.
Yeah.
Don't do
that. I'm allowed to use nice because I know how to use it, but lit is literally.
Even beyond. Nice though, you know what? It's not by the fact you know how to use it. Look at you.
I know.
You're not that guy.
But it's just not, and I'm not allowed to use lit anywhere. Well, partly one, because I don't understand how to use it. And then two, it's like.
Yeah, it's like, Dad, like seriously? Seriously, Dad?
Yeah.
It's not that you are the loser. You're making us look like the losers.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
I know, I get it.
Yeah. Well, I hope you help him get turned around. He really does have a great brand. Okay. All right. We.
Yeah. No, what we're going to do is honestly, like, you know what, and he wanted me to talk to you.
Yeah.
I mean, talk to you tonight. We don't have to talk online, but it's good online because it's good content for other people to understand.
Yeah.
This is the shit that really goes on in the real world of business.
Yeah.
But no, he wants to talk. And I said, listen, I said, what I'll do is I'll talk to Phil. And we really need to start at ground zero. Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
The video is important and it needs to be expedited.
Yeah.
But I said, really, we should sit first and really try to figure out a relatively tight, clean-ish brand strategy. What do we want to do?
Yeah.
I said, it'll take us months.
Yeah.
The category is the category. I mean, there's enough.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I said, then we film a video within those contacts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, that's the group we want to go after. But then I said, we have to relook at all we do.
Yeah.
I said, your webpage needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
Your social mediums need to be fixed.
Yeah.
Your Google search or how people find you. I said, all needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
Because we went through the webpage. I said, your webpage isn't bad looking. I said, but if people are finding you via the content, guess who you're talking to again? So I said, it's not, the content's wrong.
Yeah.
You're not, the people that you want aren't searching for the words you have buried into this arena. It's not, it's not resonating.
Well, and I think the thing is like, once you get that stuff, like once we get that stuff sorted out, the video gets easier because 100%. You're all of a sudden driving the right audience, which means along the way, hopefully what you're finding is someone that you'll go, oh crap, she should be in the video. Right?
Exactly.
Like we, you know, this lady showed up because we found her. She bought the product. She loves the product. She should be in the video. How do we do that? You know, and then stuff starts to happen, right? Which is pretty.
Now, if he's looking for a younger Asian market, like we're talking, you know, HK and the mainland.
Yeah.
And if you want that 35 to 45 year old, which there's a boatload of them there. I mean, obviously the population base is massive.
Yeah.
Then what they want to aspire to is the same person here.
Yeah.
Just here.
Yeah.
I said, but again, the way we talk, we're going to potentially have a young person talking, but the whole brand screams grandmother.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, this is a project that we actually have to start talking about or trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Maybe take it from ground zero.
Yeah.
Now the rest of this we can take offline, but it was just one of those ones. I guess what I'm trying to show people is, you know, the idea is great. And I think a video would be very cool and I get it all.
Yeah.
But you know, as a contractor, I'm there and thinking, oh, man, no.
Yeah.
I
think as contractors, you could literally go, sure, I'll help you shoot a video.
Oh, I could. Right? I can phone a bunch of people right now.
Yeah.
Get a video done.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah. But, you know, at the end of it, when they go, oh my God, I sank like, you know, $6,000 plus all the marketing, the support that goes around it. I sunk 10 grand into this. I didn't get anything, you know, like, I think that's what makes us different, right? Because, you know, like not all contractors are bad people. I just think that you and I are in that place where we go, listen, dude, like.
Well, you know what it is. He's more of a friend too, right? Or I want, you know, like I like him. I like him. He's a nice guy. And I don't want to. I can make some money on everything. But,
yeah. But it's not, you know.
There's ways to make money and ways that I just don't want to make money. And that's just a way I don't want to make money.
Yep. Yeah. I hear you.
Right.
Yeah. That's exciting. That'll be fun.
Well, get ready. Buckle up because we're probably going for the ride.
Okay.
Just got to figure out how the hell to do it, but that's fine.
Yeah, there's some interesting pieces in there for sure.
Yeah, and then for that, you know, the other social media stuff. You saw some folks in Ontario want to use who did the video. I may have another school project that can tie into it.
Yeah,
you know, but I don't know.
Yeah,
we can figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Yeah,
the rest we can talk offline. It was just more to give people a listen to is sometimes help.
Yeah. No, that's
how
cool.
Things going.
That's so cool.
Hit the brakes.
Yeah. Very cool.
Hit the brakes.
Yeah.
Okay. So apparently you're still on holiday mode. So what the hell have you done this week?
You know what? I've actually got a lot of things going on. I've been sorting, you know, like I'm streamlining my life a little bit. So I'm cutting back a little bit on Centennial. I was supposed to teach three courses this semester. I'm going to teach one.
You're going to time teacher if you're not careful.
Yeah. So I'm going to dial it back. I'm going to teach one online, and then the other two I've given away already, or given back to Centennial so they can redeploy and have somebody else do them. The other thing that I do, I almost never talk about it, but I do some coaching for a couple of organizations. The guys that do, so Jack Canfield, who does Chicken Soup for the Soul and some of those guys, I do some coaching. So he lands clients that, you know, he needs people to coach for. So I'm one of his coaches. So I've got a couple of mentees that are looking to build e-com businesses. So I'm helping them, coaching them through. So I got to get those guys kind of dialed up and going. So I've been working on that. I also landed, they're kind of cool, but they're really weird and very niche. So the company's called NYMI, N-Y-M-I. And they do, at first blush, they look like a smart watch company, but they are not. They're actually a security encryption company. So they do bio encrypted security with a watch that looks like a smart watch, but really reads your electro. They're called NYMI, N-Y-M-I. One of my jobs is to fix exactly what you're about to Google, because all of their online stuff kind of points to a watch. But really what they are is they're an encrypted company. So they do some really neat bio encryption stuff that reads fingerprints, matches it with your
enterprise authentication.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's it took me to that.
Yeah. So
where's the watch?
You know, should be there as well, unless they've done some work over the holidays, but a lot of it points to watch type stuff.
Oh, there's the watch now.
Yeah. So everyone thinks that they're a watch company, even though they're not. They're really enterprise, you know, security. They use it for manufacturing facilities and all sorts of things like that.
Oh, shit, so very this is cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's very niche, but helping them, one, figure out how to fix some of that perception stuff. So they get a lot of phone calls of people that say, hey, we'd like to buy your watch and use it with other things. But it's not really what they do, right?
Well, so the watch is obviously all meant for this.
Yeah, it's really a delivery mechanism, right?
You got the cannabis industry exploding.
Yeah.
Because some of the aspects of this, of what the picture show is lab work, et cetera, where you want security and you want some numbnuts going into that. You know, the other aspect where it might be kind of cool, I mean, I'm not to say to do this, obviously, but you know that in BC or in Lower Mainland, Transit came out with a wristband that was sold so people could use the Transit. They did 5,000 wristbands, and I can't remember what they were, 10 or 20 bucks, sold out within hours. Right? But something that's actually a little slicker to watch, like that is a watch, but could also be linked in potentially to that world.
Yes.
And I don't have to worry about, I mean, seriously, that is.
Yeah.
No, then if you're Transit, now if you, no, not going away, people freaking out about data, but shit, if you could start figuring out how, like, people are using your Transit within neighborhood, like, oh my God, you could go Looney Tunes with that one.
Cool shit. It's cool shit. So,
like, holy shit.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. So anyway, that's
awesome.
I'm going to do some work with these guys and, pretty excited about that. That'll be pretty fun. And then, you know, so the other thing that pops up every spring, cause I go and I speak at Global Pet every year, but I'm writing an article for a pet magazine. I've just gotten two more requests for interviews with pet magazines. So every year around spring,
awesome. Great category.
Pet like loses its mind, which is really funny. So, you know, so I've got a bunch of that stuff on the go as well. So
great categories though. That's awesome.
Oh, I love pet. We're working on it too. So my youngest daughter, figured out how to do this. So she pitched us, she actually put together a deck and pitched us why we should have a dog. I know she actually did, you know, she did the whole PowerPoint thing and everything. So now we've got a jar we're saving for a dog. I had to research what the average cost of a dog is, you know, and she looked it all up and she said, you know, first year cost if you buy a dog from a breeder is like $2,000. With like health costs and, you know, all that stuff in there. So we're now, you know, raising funds for that. Right. So it's
good for them, right?
Yeah. It's kind of funny. So, you know,
wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So I know. So, you know, so we're on this path now, but anyway, so yeah, I'm up to all sorts of really, really kind of neat stuff. Kind of interesting.
Cool shit though. That your stuff's fun though, right? It's more like my stuff is still pretty old school. Your stuff's got some cool, like high techy, just cool shit, right?
Yeah. No, it's cool, man. I think this is part of why I like it, right? Is, you know, you think of where I was in September of last year, you know, I was doing all this teaching and I had all this other stuff on the go. And now you look, you know, so from September to January, it's really only 4 months, right? But, you know, the mix of my job has changed, or what I think my, you know, the mix for the next 4 months is going to change. You know, the clients change, like all sorts of things are different now. And
That sounded like a cool thing. I don't know if I like that anymore.
Yeah.
It's not as cool as I thought it was. This other shit's cool.
Yeah.
Right. But that's the beauty of sort of doing what we do. It's funny. I talked to someone last week who was, it's been in the industry for a long time too, as a marketing person and working for somebody and, you know, reached out because I think because, you know, when you're stupid enough to leave a job at 50 is you sort of become, I think they all wait. Okay. If 2 years later, he still seems to be alive, obviously eating because he definitely hasn't lost any weight. Maybe there's something to this thing. Cause if that bozo can do it, hey, there's some odds in this game. So I get a lot of bar visits where I sit down and they'll say, okay, well, I say, listen, if I can do it, you can do it. I said, what you need is you got to be perseverant.
Yeah.
Right. You got to use your contacts.
Yeah.
And you've got to just be willing to get 700 no's. But you just keep plugging this and just be persistent. I said, but there is stuff out there, especially if you're good at what you're doing. If you've developed a reputation, which most, you know, these people have in their respective fields, I said, there is lots of work out there. And it's cool work.
But you know what? The only thing I'm like you, right? And, you know, like having crossed over in from, you know, when I crossed from brand to retailer and then retailer to startup and then startup to freelancing, like all of those were, you know, like in the industry, even you and I crossing from, you know, the big company world into freelancing is something that's rare and, you know, it's becoming more common, but
it's common now, isn't it?
You know, Kenny, honestly, I think it's not as common as we think it is.
I think everybody wants to do something like this now.
Everybody wants it. And so I think the door knockers that you get, that I get, are people that want to do it. And then I would say that out of the, you know, kind of 10, 15 people I get every month, you know, kind of knocking on doors, trying to figure out how we do what we do, maybe one of them goes freelance and most of the rest of them go,
they go back to work.
Yeah. They go back to work. Cause they realize
that's not a critique.
No, there's no critique there. I just think, I think, you know, we call ourselves dummies and we kind of do this stuff, but to do what we do, you know, you do kind of have to have a bit of a stronger gut for anxiety and some of those things while you figure out what it looks like. Right. So,
well, because again, I mean, there's no steady.
No.
Right. Well, the only thing that's steady is, I don't know. Even Thursday night's not steady because we've moved this and you can't record sometimes. So there's really no steadies in the world.
There are no steadies in the world now.
Sooner or later it happens, but it just may not happen when you want it.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I really don't think, you know, again, I don't think what we do is massively complicated, or not doable I think a lot of it. Yeah. I mean, if you don't have any expertise, it's tough to do anything. But if you've got an expertise in an area, there's room out there. There really is.
but
it's hard to find good people. Yeah. It's hard to find people you can trust. It's, you know, and there's a lot of good people out there who want help.
Yeah. I think it's also the talent of finding out how to extract data, right? You know what I mean? There are a lot of people in corporate worlds where they know the jobs and they know them very well, right? And you know, God bless them because they know their jobs. But then when you take them out of that environment, drop them in a new one, they don't know how to pull out the factoids they need from the jobs that they've done to be able to go and apply it, right? And so I think there are moments there, you know. Maybe
you're right.
I gave us an awkward pat on the back.
I know. I understand what you're saying. I guess it's a little, well, because we're not good at that either, right? Because
pretty what it's about. Pretty terrible at it, actually.
It's kind of, like seriously, I figure, if I can do it, I mean, anybody can do it. I really do. I'm not even disbelieving that. So. I think if you just, it's a lot of it. You just got to nut up and just sort of do it. Easy to say. You know, I talked a long time about doing. I finally did. I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
Now and again, if you don't have, you got to be able to buy some time.
Yeah.
Because you know, as I learned too, I mean, it didn't happen nearly as fast as I thought it would. Mm-hmm. And there were points in there I thought this is obviously not going to work.
Yeah.
Right. I can't do this.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, before you know it, it's bada bing, bada boom. You're thinking, okay, shit, this has got to slow down a little bit because, we're using the word freelance, and now I'm going to sound like Kent. You know, maybe we should be forming an agency because, you know, there's so much stuff out there, and there are people that are just looking for, you know, good, honest help.
Yeah.
And, you know, apparently it's a little harder to find than what you think.
I think so. I'm on that path. I don't want an agency, but I think you and I are actually trailblazing this one because I don't think a lot of people do this. I think what we really want to be is a node along the way.
100%.
You know, and so I'll use Rachel Farewell, who we've talked about on the show, and I've given a free plug, and God, I love that girl. She's amazing. What I love is, you know, she wants to get on the path of being a freelancer, but she didn't know how to do it. Right. And so, you know, I just said to her, well, listen, like, here's some things you can do, right? Like, here's some things you can do. Here's some things you can do. And so when you start chucking enough stuff at her, you know, all of a sudden now we're in business together. We're doing stuff together. We share a bunch of stuff and now she's freelancing. And I feel like we are, you know, so I finally got around to listening to Kent's episode, and he is the smart guy who's ridiculously young.
I told you.
He's too smart to be a 32 or 33 year old. Like,
he talks like he's 90. I don't think I like Kent anymore.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But Kent, you're ridiculous. Whatever you do in life, you're going to be amazing. Oh, I also wrote him a LinkedIn recommendation. Just because I literally did it while I was listening to his podcast while he was talking about not thinking about. You know, so Kent, go in and accept the LinkedIn recommendation that I wrote you. But I think that we're on a slightly different path where as you start to tie these nodes together, I don't think you need an agency these days. What I think you need is a network of trusted people like you and I. We trust each other. I trust Rachel. We trust Shanane.
Absolutely.
No
production. And, I trust Linda.
Yeah. No, Linda owns all of us.
Looking around the people you trust. Listen, there cannot be an episode without Linda. Okay.
No. Linda owns this whole thing. Otherwise, she's like the godmother of the whole thing.
Think, oh my God, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, and then sooner or later, I feel like we're going to pay the price for that.
She's like Oprah. You know, she just owns the whole thing. So, but
you're right. And then what she does, I don't care to be involved in any of it. Outside of, hey, yeah, do you know somebody? Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Right. And again, you know, as long as that person who's asking for the help finds good help with our contacts, that's awesome. Now, if we can benefit from it, that's good too.
Yeah, that's great too. Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, if the worst benefit is that we just help somebody out, quite frankly, that's
okay too. Yeah.
That's better than okay. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. 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 Right? Yeah. So I'm
kinda... And again, I think that kills the agency though. See, so ultimately, maybe we are like, where is the, you know, if you get enough shitheads like us out there doing this, what does that do for the agencies? Because we don't need the overhead. We don't have to, you know what I mean? Yeah. Costs become, you know, it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
To bug some of us, and, you know, and if, you know, as long as we can all work together here and there, but we're all freelancing.
But I think big companies will always want agencies.
I get that. But yeah. You know what? Big companies, how many big companies do you know anymore? We know a lot. So it's not what I mean.
Yeah,
if you go back to the, you know, the Fortune 500 of 15 years ago to the Fortune 500 today.
Yeah.
There's still 500, but there's not a whole shit behind to get on the 500. Yeah. Because there's not a lot of big companies. Every time there's a big company, one bigger guy takes them. There's a boatload in the middle, though.
But I'm okay with that, right?
So I love that.
If agencies want to live in that top Fortune 500,
that's all they got.
I'm good, right? Because I don't want that business, right? Like I have
no desire for it.
Yeah. I mean,
my point is that pool is getting smaller.
Yeah.
Yes, the contracts are huge, and yes, they'll probably always want an agency.
Yeah.
But you're an agency, let's say, that does J&J. How are you going to do Betty's, you know, toy emporium? Mm-mm. And Betty might have 10 locations, and Betty's a good little size.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're looking, thinking, well, shit, man.
Yeah.
Our overhead,
yeah,
you know, just the lights, never mind the overhead, we can't do it. We can't even pitch on that type of business.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of agencies left that can do small guys. They are mostly all focused, it seems, in the higher, bigger guys.
Yeah. No, I like it. I like where we are. I like the way we're positioned, and it'd be interesting, really.
We're gonna come up for a new word now. Yeah. So we're not gonna be freelancers completely. Didn't even know how to an agency. So what is it?
No, I don't know. I don't know what we are.
Disruptor.
I don't know. I think of us like a node, but I don't.
Ask Kent if we can be disruptive. That's sort of disruptive.
Can we be disruptive? I don't know. Yeah. Well,
I want to be disruptive or a disruptor. See, Ken, tell Ken to figure out a way to make us a disruptor. Give shit how he does it. Just you know, he talks all the cool shit. I don't know. I want to say those two guys that are like disruptors or something.
Yeah. You want a cool word for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. But you know, I mean, and
I don't think there's a lot of people that do.
Yeah, I think if you're out there and you're listening to us, if you're going to be in this,
I think people,
you know, let us know and see what we can do, right? Like, reach out so we can include you in the node, and then figure out how we tie you to things, right?
Love.
Yeah.
Because I think what the challenge you have in today's world is I think you and I talked about this a while ago. It's such a world of, you know, if I do something for you, that means I expect you to do something for me, right?
Yeah.
And when you get into those payback type worlds, this doesn't work. Mm-mm. I mean, what we do, I don't think is the norm. And I think the reason there's not is what people are scared. Like the shit that we talk about on this, that people can, where I've gone back and I just listened to what we talked about most because I can't remember the hell we've talked about it. Is if you go back and listen, well, because we don't rehearse, so it's not like I can go back and like, hey, script for episode 35. I don't even know what 35 is about.
Yeah,
I read your caption, I'm thinking, I don't remember that one.
Yeah,
right. But if you look at it, sometimes the little bit of free tidbits that we throw out, I mean, you could pay thousands of dollars because the person is so freaked out about the knowledge, about giving their knowledge for free.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. As opposed to saying, you know what, whatever.
Yeah. I'm there with you. I like it.
Yeah. Tell Kent, we need a new definition. We don't want to be an agency or a freelancer anymore.
We need a cooler name than a node.
Yeah, we need a cooler name. First off, he's younger. Okay. Bottom line.
Yeah,
he's definitely smarter than me. Maybe on par with he was smarter than me. So he's got this is his job.
Kent, it'd be interesting to see where that guy goes. I'll be interested to see what happens to him.
He'll end up on some freaking magazine cover before
he knows. Yeah, he'll be on Fortune. He'll be driving a Tesla before he knows.
Exactly.
Yeah. Man, I love it.
It's all good, man. I love it. All good in the hood.
Yeah.